Everybody have a good Christmas? Eh? How many had the stomach bug through Christmas? Just my family. different bug. Who was sick through Christmas? Man. Should be laws against that. Well, we're in 2023. My OCD is kicking in. I'm sorry. It's like, I'm afraid that thing is going to fall off the edge. Or me. I'd rather it fall off than me. So that'd be a way to start a new year, right? Well, I am excited. We had a great Christmas. Thank you to everyone for cards and gifts and things like that to me and my family. We feel very, very blessed. I hope that you had a blessed Christmas season. It was just awesome. We're starting 2023 off with a series called Light. How many of you guys used the devotional that we provided before Christmas on your Christmas? How many of you used that? How'd you like it? Was it all right? You guys just didn't post the pictures. There were only two pictures on Facebook, mine and the Pattersons, and they put theirs on mine. So, but that's okay. If you used it, that was what it was for. We're hoping that it was blessed. It blessed you. It created opportunities for us to talk about awesome things with my little boys. We sat in our living room and turned off the lights. And anytime that you have little boys in the dark, crazy happens. And not just little boys, even big boys. It was a good time. Now, we had a good time, and it was fun. This series comes out of that devotional. When we were putting that together, it was just, there's so much stuff that started running through my head. And so from the heart of the devotional is coming this series, Light. How many of you guys like to go camping? How many? Raise your hand. Now real camping, not RV with running water. Real camping. You guys are crazy. I like the RV. But I remember growing up camping, and you'd be sitting around the fire, and then you would have to go away from the fire to look up and see the stars, right? You guys remember doing that? Just go see the stars and the lights in the heavens and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun doing that. And we just celebrated Christmas, and what an amazing story about the birth of Christ that we celebrated, right? So let me ask you this. What is the number one Christmas decoration? Lights. Is ranked the number one. I mean, even driving around our town, how many of you put Christmas lights on the outside of your house? You guys are nuts. They're pretty and we appreciate them, but I ain't getting on no ladder putting up lights. So, but it's the number one decoration of Christmas. I remember growing up in Idaho, I don't know if he still does it, but even through when in my adult years, there was a guy that he decorated his whole yard at Christmas time with hundreds of millions of lights. Because his wife was not totally blind, but was blind enough, but she could see bright lights. And so every year he would go, it was like Christmas at the Cranks, right? It was like so many lights. Matter of fact, it was the power company would donate to his bill because there's so much power in his lights. But you could see that. I think you probably could have seen it from the space station. I really do. I think it was really just so, and everybody, it was like 1 mile an hour driving past his house. And he had like a 5-acre lot, but it was so many lights. It was the coolest thing ever. All because he loved his wife and wanted her to see the lights. It was really cool. So we're talking about light today, for 4 weeks, actually. And I'm going to dare you. Matter of fact, I'm going to Christmas story it. I'm going to triple dog dare you to not miss a week. Today we're talking about the light of the world, but we're going to talk about the light. And the Bible has a lot to say about the light. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 12, 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. We would just, like I said, come through the Christmas story. What did the wise men follow? A star, a light, right? From all across the world, they followed this light in the sky, this star, to come to find the King, right? God has a lot to say about the light. The light is visible from Genesis to Revelation. And we're going to go through all of it today. Just kidding. But we're gonna take a look at it. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. We're going out, we're coming into the new year with a bang. I'm excited about this. I hope you guys are excited. Here we go. Genesis 1, 1 through 3 is where we're going to start off. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Message version says it this way. Earth was a soup of nothingness. I love it. A soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. Now here's the crazy thing. When you read the creation account, in the beginning, God created the light before he ever created the sun, moon, and stars. You ever notice that when you're reading your Bible? Anybody ever just read your Bible? Hopefully you read your Bible. But he created the light before the sun, moon, and stars. Okay? God was the light. So let's jump to the end of the book. Revelation 21, 22, 24. See, I told you we were going through the whole book. Man. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. City does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. Nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Genesis to Revelation. Now we're going to look at creation this morning, and how it represents the people of God. How it represents people in general. You guys ready for that? Think I can do it? One of you. We'll get you there. Okay? So back to the beginning. The earth was void and darkness was on the face of the deep, right? Think about that. How well does that describe people today? We walk in darkness, right? There's darkness. Their souls lack direction. Their souls lack light. And their faces are full of darkness and emptiness in life. So think about this. And I was thinking about this just yesterday, actually. My wife is in Idaho. So I had to ask Callie if I matched clothes-wise today, because my wife's helping with a nephew's wedding. And so she usually says, this goes with this, and so I'm a little scattered. But think about this. The Spirit of God, it says in Genesis, hovered over the deep, right? Hovered over the earth, right? Because it was formless and void. It was hovering over it. The Spirit of God hovers over the lives of people just like that. Waiting, drawing people to Him, right? The Bible says that no one comes unto the Father except by the Holy Spirit, who draws them or woos them, right? So I believe the Spirit of God hovers over darkened hearts and minds, just like He did the darkness of the earth. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 19, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more, and it goes on and on and on. Check out what 1 John says. I don't know if you've ever read 1 John or even studied through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but that book is like the book of James. It just kind of kicks you right in the teeth, right? He doesn't pull any punches. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. That's kind of just blunt, isn't it? But if we walk in the light, everybody say walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Let's pray. No, I'm kidding. Right? So this morning I want to share three things that light brings into our life. You ready? You ready for the three things? Okay, the first one is the light brings illumination. Light is the absence of darkness. Right? It brings illumination. It's the absence of darkness. Light changes everything. You ever tried to go into total darkness and try to do anything? It doesn't work, does it? Nothing we do. I've been to, like, how many have been to, I haven't been to this place yet, but been to something like it. But how many of you been to the Lewis and Clark Caverns? And when they do the total darkness thing, boom, right? It's like, you get creepy. I grew up in northern Utah, and we used to go to Tipinocas Caves. And the same thing, they'd have this total blackout. They'd kill the lights, and it was like the creepiest thing. I remember I was 7 years old, and they did that. And I remember they had stalactites and stalagmites, and one dripped right on me in the middle of the darkness. Freaked me out. I was like, that's just wrong. But light changes everything that we do. Okay, so here, do me a favor. Flip, if you have your hand out, flip it over on the back. You're going to do an exercise for me to help illustrate this. Everybody ready? Close your eyes. Everybody, don't cheat because I can see you. Close your eyes. And I want you to draw on the back of your paper. I want you to draw a circle with your eyes closed. A circle. Then I want you to draw a square. And a triangle on the back, eyes closed, on the back of your handout. A circle, a square, and a triangle. When you're done, hold your pen up. Keep your eyes closed. Those that got your eyes open, you're cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. All right. Now open it up and look at your drawing. How well did you do? You're OCD. It doesn't count. Good. You guys did all right. That just totally killed my illustration. Okay? Now. But is it neat? Let me see. Are they neat? John did a good job. Look at this. You guys did a good job. Totally kills my illustration. I did this in my office, and it was like my 5-year-old was drawn. He actually draws better. Okay, now that your eyes are open, draw it again. Draw it again. I bet you it'll at least be neater. You guys are amazing. Totally kill. Let me see yours, Sarah.
I can't improve on mine.
Oh, man. You guys are the best. So much for that illustration. Wow. But here's the thing about it. At least you can say drawing, well, except for rock, you can say that at least your shapes were neater when you drew. You guys are the coolest people ever to be able to do that. You're in the light. There. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, we're closing in prayer, Carrie. We're out. We're done. Okay? But here's the thing about it. Here's what it's supposed to illustrate. When the light comes into our lives, it illuminates our life. It illuminates our path, right? The Word of God, we're going to talk about that next week, is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, right? We're going to talk about that stuff. But the crazy thing about it is light changes your perspective, right? It typically, except you guys are like amazing. But here's what David says in Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, Paul says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that he cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that good? I think that is amazing. John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. This is the verdict, John says. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that its deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Here's the crazy thing about it. This is what Paul's getting to right here, is sin is not usually done downtown on Main Street at noon. Right? It's done in secrecy. Right? We don't want it's just plain and simple, right? It's the principle of darkness. It's done in secret. It's done in the dark. Not at noon in live street, right? We as Christ followers should be living a life really openly and transparent. And what Paul is saying and what John is saying is that the light exposes that, exposes our sin. And so when we step into the light, it exposes. We're transparent. We're vulnerable. But we have nothing to hide when we're in the light. Right? Because it truly exposes everything. I know at my house, it was funny yesterday, little boys are playing and Ryan's got this little notebook and he's got this little lock, little tiny lock. It's like smaller than my thumb. And he has it locked up. It's supposed to be like a diary, but he just draws and write stories and all kinds of stuff. But he dropped the lock and it went under the couch where it's dark. So he's tearing the house up looking for his flashlight so he can illuminate in the darkness to expose where his lock is. And I thought about that yesterday. I'm like, man, that's a perfect illustration. God shows his light, shines his light to expose our sin. Because nothing's hidden in the light. And so that's what Paul's referring to, right? We need to live openly and transparently so that we have nothing to regret in life. When we live that way and we walk in the light and we live our life in the light, we don't have anything to regret. Makes sense? If it makes sense, say uh-huh. Isaiah, let's go back to the Old Testament. 42, 6 through 9 says, I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or praise my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Who's he talking about right there? Any idea? Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus right there. He's prophesying about Jesus. Jesus continually gave vision to the blind throughout his ministry, right? He healed the blind. He even spit dirt, made mud, put it on guys' eyes and healed their blindness. That's a powerful spit. Just is. Right? But that's what he did. He brought people into the light. The second thing that light does is light brings revelation. Everybody say revelation.
Revelation.
Illumination leads to revelation. What does revelation mean? The base word of revelation is what? To unveil, to reveal, right? To reveal. That's what it is. Light reveals our true nature and our true form. It's important. That's why it's so important for us. And when I say confession, you know, it says if, in 1 John 1:9, we just read it. If we confess our sins, that doesn't mean necessarily go to a priest or a pastor and confess it, but confess it out loud. What does the confessing out loud do? It reveals it, right? There's something powerful when we say, I just confessed my sin. Something supernatural happens. Listen to this. Something supernatural happens when we physically speak and confess our sin, right? It's important. Maybe it's not to, and I don't want you to come and confess your sin to me. I don't want that. But maybe there is somebody that's in your life that you trust that will keep that and keep it secret, not secret, but keep it private, because you don't want somebody going and telling, you know, so-and-so, that's called gossip and that's a sin, right? But to be able to say, gosh, man, Gary, I really struggle here and I really dropped the ball. What did I just do? I just confessed. I confessed it. And now it's in the light. Right? It's in the light. It's been revealed. My brother's going to stand with me. He's going to pray with me, but he's going to hold me accountable too. That's what the body of Christ is for. Right? That's what the church is for. Is encouragement, is accountability, is being able to be there for one another, to be able to confront one another. That's what it's about. So it brings revelation. Now here's the thing. Let me read this scripture first. When Jesus spoke to Saul in Acts chapter 26, 17 through 18, he said this, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. This is when Jesus appeared, blinded Paul, it was Saul then, and blinded him, right? I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So here's the thing. When there is revelation, there has to be separation. When God reveals something to you of your sinful nature, He reveals it, there has to be separation. Right? Does anybody know the definition of repentance? To turn around, right? So if this is Dave walking in his sinful nature, living a life in sin, doing the stupid things that he used to do, and then God reveals to me that I need a Savior, I need Jesus, I accept Jesus as my Savior, I repent of my sin, I say, God, forgive me for all the garbage that I've done. Repentance means that I've turned a full 180 and I walk away from that old man. Picking up what I'm throwing down? That's what it's talking about. Revelation then leads to separation. There needs to be separation. You got to walk away from the old self, right? The problem is this, is too many Christians nowadays are right here, and this, they're walking the line, right? In their Christianity, they're trying to stay as close to the world as they can get and still call themselves a Christian. That dog don't hunt. That isn't being sanctified. That isn't being separated. That isn't being holy. That's a fence walker. And our world is full of it today, unfortunately. When we have that revelation, there has to be separation. In Genesis, so we see it. This is probably a little bit of a stretch, but just bear with me. Genesis 1, 6 through 8, and God said, there will be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and then there was evening, and there was morning the second day. What I am trying to get at is, in creation, He gives us a view of how it's supposed to be between us and the world. Us and sinful nature. Right? There should be an expanse. There should be separation. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect? No. It means that we're going to mess up. But the difference is, the reason that David, King David, was considered a man after God's own heart was he understood the power of repentance and worshiping God. When he messed up, he did it good. Right? He was good at it. But his heart was broken and contrite. And he went before the Lord and says, "Forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit in me." You following me? There's got to be. And the creation kind of gives us that. When we have revelation happen in our lives, we begin to think, man, I don't need that in my life anymore. I don't want that in my life anymore. There begins to be a natural separation that takes place when there's true revelation. Picking up on throwing down? I have to change this in my life. I don't want to do this. And it's not because I'm following a list of 10 rules or 613 of them if you're a Hebrew, a Jew, right? It's not about that. It's about I don't want to blemish what God has cleaned. I don't want to do that because I know that that's not of God. I know that doesn't please God. I know. Not because I got to follow 1 through 10. Does that make sense? Our revelation calls us higher and higher. And it happens throughout our journey with God. You'll be reading, it's crazy to me. But when you're reading scripture and when you're a baby Christian, it's like, oh my gosh, all these things are like bam, 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 bam. And it's like, okay, I've learned it all. I've been serving the Lord not nearly as long as some of y'all, but I gave my heart to Jesus December 16th of 1995. I was 25 years old. And there's stuff that I even read in Bible college, and I thought, man, Bible college, I've got it all figured out. What a lie that is. There was a revelation that happened, right? But I'm still reading scripture, and God's still revealing things through scriptures that I've read 100 times. And go, man, I didn't see that before. Man, I didn't see that before. It's that revelation that happens, right? And it's bringing you higher and higher in your relationship with God. Deeper, probably a better word and description. Deeper into the things of God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's about that revelation in our life. The number three thing that that light brings is transformation. Everybody say transformation. Transformation. What does transformation mean? What does that word mean? Okay, what does that mean? Change. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I wish I had a candy bar. I'd throw it at you. Right? It means alteration. Change. A complete change. Transform. Here's how I would explain it to a teenager. Okay? You take a cucumber. How many likes cucumbers? Okay. And then you put it into the pickling agent. And that pickling agent totally transforms, changes the very DNA of that cucumber into a pickle. Right? It's no longer a cucumber. It's a pickle. But it changes it. Right? That's how I would explain it to teenagers, so you get it. So, but they tell me that the average adult has a 16-year-old learning level, so we're all right there. Woof. We're all right there. Totally transforms, totally, completely, and utterly changes it. I'm no longer moved by what I see, but through faith into God's Word, I begin to be moved. Right? By the renewing of our mind, let us be transformed, Romans tells us. Sidebar, this year we're going to walk through, in the summer, we're going to walk through the book of Romans together. Whew. You're not going to want to miss that one either. That one's going to be fun. So they call Revelation, in Bible college, they refer, when they say Revelation, about the book of Romans, it is the great leveler is what that book is. And if you've ever spent any time reading in the book of Romans, man, it's the truth. It will level you down. It's a great book. So we're no longer moved by what we see, right? Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, David says to God. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that good? Oof. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We just talked about this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be, say it loud, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now here's a, I was getting my hair cut long ago. There's somebody came in and went to the tanning beds because they need their vitamin D. Whatever. But some of us in the summer, we go to the lake, what do? We get under the sun to get a tan, right? Early stages of skin cancer is what they tell me. But I still go out there and get tan. I didn't say it was me saying that. But we get under the sun to change your color, right? White's not in. You gotta be tan, right? The bronze body. People pay thousands of dollars to not be pasty white skin. It's sickening. Sickly. You don't want to look pasty mayonnaise legs. Huh? That's me. Right? We do this to change our color. We spend time under the sun, the S-U-N, for our physical countenance to be changed. But when you spend time under the sun, S-O-N, your spiritual countenance will be changed. Picking up and throw it down? Pretty sneaky. Man, it's January 1. The more time you spend under the light, the more like Christ you will become. It's when we hover out around in the dark places that we become worldly. Right? When we get into, I'm glad I left those spotlights. This is perfect. It's not even on purpose. We step into the light. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time you spend praising Jesus, the more time that you spend in this, under the sun, your spiritual life and countenance changes. The spiritual transformation is a process, right? It's not overnight. It's a process, not a spray tan. It's a process. Whew. Just like the creation of the world was a process, took 6 days, right? It's a process. Philippians 1:6. I wish I had my coffee. My wife made me this coffee mug that says unfinished. Because my favorite scripture, my life verse, is Philippians 1:6. And it says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it out to completion. I'm unfinished. Right? I'm unfinished. Thank you, Jesus. And you're going, amen. But we're unfinished. It's a process. It's a process. Philippians 2:12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process. We're in the process of sanctification, which is a fancy word of God transforming us. But it only works when we're in the light. Come on, y'all. We got to be in the light. We are saved by grace, not by what we do, not by works, right? However, we have to continue to work against our flesh and our sinful nature. I can go through scripture after scripture that talks about throw off anything that hinders you and run to the light. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work at making sure that you keep coming to the light. Got it? You got to say, oh yeah, baby. So I'm going to wrap up this morning. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. How's your light? How's your light? How bright is your light? Are you a 20-watt refrigerator light? How hot are you burning? These things are hot. How hot are you burning? Are you a flashlight? You just turn it off and on? How hot is your light? How bright is your light? Are you a Christmas light? A flood lamp? Are you a Christmas light that you only bring out once a year? How's your light? 2023, we get a brand new year, yo. Brand new year. Freshness, newness. God has given us a new year. How's your light? What's this year going to hold? What's this year going to hold for you? Are you going to be satisfied with living the same way that you lived in 2022? Or are you going to embrace what God has for you? I believe God has amazing things in store for His church. And I believe wholeheartedly that He has amazing things in store for each one of you. All you have to do, step into the light. Jesus said that we are the salt and the light. We are the light. And how bright are you shining? And how bright do you want to shine? I'm telling you what, we live in a town that there is a lot of people that don't see the light. And my prayer is for each one of us, that we would have the opportunities, that God would give us the opportunities to be the light to a dark world. You know people, every one of us, already pictures of their faces are popping in your mind right now that need to know the love and care of Jesus. And you're the light. You're the only Jesus that one person might know or see ever. And is it a bright light? Or are you one of those people that are walking the fence in your Christian walk? I'm going to get as close to the world as I can, but still call myself a Christian. Can I tell you that that's not a Christ follower? That's not it. My favorite phrase, Carrie, that dog don't hunt. Don't live in darkness. Don't live in darkness. Be in the light. Be in the light. Lord, thank you for your word that is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for sending Jesus to us to be the light. And Lord, thank you for calling us out of darkness so we too can be a light. Lord, as we jump into 2023, a fresh, new, clean year that you've given us, Lord God, let's make the most out of every opportunity that you've given us. Let us be people of your word. Let us be people that are called by your name to be the light. Thank you, God, for the light that transforms us. Say thank you. I hope your light to shine bright in 2023. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Stand with me as we close in a final song.